safe as houses. This is podcast number 9. In the last episode, Sally and Lavinia, our main characters, had reached the comic book store, which was the goal in the race to go 4 blocks in a city infested with vampires without leaving a home. So Sally would win if she could just get inside that wretched comic book store, because she was ahead of Bunt, and Bunt was the race organizer, who had some mysterious secret method for always winning. And just by the way, whenever she saw the stiff way he walked, she always expected him to hop, and she couldn't tease out the memory or whatever it was. But anyway, Lavinia's van is parked in front of the recessed door to the comic book shop, and Sally has just leaped into the alcove, but something's gone wrong. Lavinia lets out a yell, and just then an icy hand grabs Sally's foot. So this is Volume 1, Chapter 7, Revelations. As the cold hand dragged her to the ground, she glimpsed, reflected in the glass door, what was happening. A white arm had reached through, in through the few inches of space above the camper, and it was feeling around like a blind worm, while 4 vampires had crawled under the camper. And it was one of the 4 which had grabbed her from the ground. And then her head smacked the tiles, pain stabbed through her ankle as razor teeth scraped, and cold lips sucked. She kicked, felt her boot connect with a nose and crunch it. "You sweet scum, you trash, you shall bleed and bleed and bleed," the voices chanted their endless threats.
"Hey, sock buckets!"
Lavinia's voice bellowed behind her.
"Look!"
Sally couldn't see what Lavinia was doing, but suddenly there was only 1 vampire on her. She kicked it again, rolled over, whipped out the stake, and brought it down in a vicious arc. Ooh, it was a bad blow. It hit the vampire just below the neck. The creature thrashed and screamed. The other vampires were returning, and more were crawling under the van. Lavinia yelled, "Looky, looky, here I am again!" She was sticking just a finger, her middle finger, of course, out of the camper window and then pulling it back as the vampires mashed themselves up to the invisible barrier. The wounded vampire was still fixated on the blood trickling from Sally's ankle, which suddenly hurt like hell, just by the way. So that vampire ignored Lavinia, but the others were going for her. She kicked that vampire in the face again, and then quickly she reached for the doorknob. It was locked! It shouldn't have been locked! Runners had to be able to get in. That was part of the rules of the race. But the door was just glass, no bars. She stood to kick her way through the glass, and then hesitated. Surely there'd be no burglar alarm, too? Well, an idea came to her. She stooped and picked up the cursing vampire. Ghastly, whitish fluid leaked from its neck. The vampire was light enough that if she'd had the space, she could have whirled it around and through the door. As it was, she used its head as a battering ram. It smashed through the glass, and no burglar alarm went off, and she dropped it to sever its neck on a horrible gleaming shard. But its head suddenly crushed inward, as if it had hit an invisible wall, harder than steel. Of course, it hadn't been invited in, and she'd pushed it against whatever that magic barrier was. The feet drummed against the tiles, and then it lay still, an ordinary corpse. Shaken, Sally reached through the jagged hole in the glass and unlocked the door.
"Oh, shit!"
came a roar from behind her. She looked back. The blindly groping hand had grabbed Lavinia's fingertip and squeezed it with sharp nails. The other vampires flung themselves at her like moths. Sally reached for her vial of blood, but Lavinia wrenched her hand back. Blood squirted from the lacerated fingertip, but the vampire had not been able to nip it off or to pull her out. Individual vampires seemed to be no stronger than the humans they once were. The fickle mob was turning back to Sally. She quickly opened the door, hearing Lavinia's voice shouting, "Will you get the fuck in there? Ow, goddammit, that hurts!" She jumped inside, and there she was. She took in the fact that she'd made it. She was here, and Bunt was not. And nobody else had made it, either. She was the first person to ever beat Bunt at his nasty, deadly game. The counter was to her left. Stacks of comics labeled Free Comics Day on one end. Right and left in the cramped space going to the back of the store were racks of comics from the most muscle-bound adolescent trash with big-boobed girls, souped-up cars, and space wars, to the most sophisticated visual storytelling. But all of them were jumbled messily together. Whoever the owner was, and he probably lived upstairs to make this a home, he was sure a disorderly slob. The exact kind of person Bunt would have a deal with. A stack of something called Buffy the Vampire Slayer was prominently displayed, which made sense because a slayer of vampires would be a popular thing right now. Since Sally had never read comics or any vampire fiction, she had no way of knowing how good it was. Her eye was caught by another title, Dykes to Watch Out For, she smiled. The thrill of being here faded. Her ankle hurt, but a quick look told her it was just a gash, and the bleeding was already slowing and the blood was clotting, so she paid it no more mind. She still had work to do. She had to prove to anyone who cared that she was here first, just in case Bunt tried to lie. And then she had to face him down when he arrived. She had won his game, but Lavinia earlier had voiced her secret doubt. Bunt would cheat and would not give her what he had promised. And Lavinia was parked right in front. She'd have to move so that Bunt could get in when he did arrive. Well, first things first, establish her arrival. She pulled out her phone and checked in at Fantasy Life Comics. Nobody could now dispute that she was here. Now Lavinia, that strange, amazing woman who had exploded into her life. She walked to the open door. The vampires were pressed two or more deep against the invisible barrier, and as always, they were talking. Teasing, cajoling, threatening, pleading. "Lavinia!" she shouted through the melee. She was relieved to hear a muffled,
"What, kid?"
"You have to move! Bunt has to be able to get in!" The vampires talked louder now, but she managed to make out,
"Kay, will do!"
Through the display windows, she watched the van back up until the doorway was clear, and then stop, still inches from the building so that no vampires could squeeze between. Lavinia's intense eyes were blazing at her through the glass. Her finger was wrapped in several napkins, which she must have found in the glove compartment.
"I'm going no further. I'm your witness, kid," the magnificent face said.
Sally felt warm throughout her body, in spite of all her misgivings. She gave Lavinia a thumbs up. Her words had given Sally an idea. She had no way to act on this idea, but Bunt might not know that. She set up one final, just-in-case weapon to look as good as possible, and then stood facing the door as poised and relaxed as she could be. She saw the ripples from Bunt's approach long before she saw him. Vampire heads swiveled slowly, a susurrant spread through the crowd. The bodies cleared the doorway and moved into a ring around one moving point. It was like watching a truck loom out of the fog, or like watching a snake move into a field of mice. Droplets of red, which glistened in the streetlights, flew through the air, and the vampires thronged around that still invisible central point bowing and fawning, their mouths wide open. It was just what they had done when Sally had first opened the door of the restaurant where the race had started. She realized that they had seen the vial of blood in her hand and Bunt in the corner behind her, and suddenly she grasped the full horror of Bunt's secret method for winning the home runs. Her eyes blazed as the crowd parted like the Red Sea at the doorway, and she saw the man himself. Bunt walked slowly, scattering droplets of blood like a priest bestowing blessings. Vampires, clearly in his service, had flitted up to press themselves against windows all along the block, so that nobody could look out and see what he was doing. His face was blank, expressionless, and he still walked stiffly. He looked more vampire-like than the vampires. Once more, that ghostly, teasing memory flitted. A hopping man, a pale, stiffly moving Chinese man in the garb of 100 years ago, moving by hopping, and this time she locked it in. Bunt looked like a Jiangxi, a Chinese zombie vampire, out of a movie on one of those Chinese channels that her parents had watched. Why did that image feel important? She tried to parse the thought out as he walked the last few steps to the door, still not seeing her. The Jiangxi were called resentful corpses. They were long dead and so stiff that they could only move by hopping. But Bunt was not actually hopping, he was just stiff. They weren't really vampires, more like zombies, but lots of cheap movies and music videos had been made about them. There were ways of stopping them involving sticky rice and putting on their foreheads a talisman made of yellow paper with a spell written on it. She had watched the dumb movies with the enjoyment of a kid, but didn't really know about them. She had no idea why the thought of them kept nagging at her now. Bunt reached the broken door and froze. Adoring vampires were arranged behind him like a chorus of dancing girls, and he sucked his upper teeth. He didn't seem to be aware of the camper to his right. Maybe he hadn't seen it as he walked up in all his glory, and now the vampires were clustered around him, blocking his view left and right. But she saw the moment when his eyes picked her out in the dim light. Strict, severe, tight, and harsh. A true Yan, waiting for him like a vengeful demon. She smiled coldly at him, and hoped that her worry didn't show. Well, that's the end of this episode. The story is copyright 2013 by me, Michael Litsky. The music is by Chris Zabriskie. If you'd like to read this story and much more, you can visit my website, which is www.fictionandmore.com. Next week will be podcast number 10, which will be chapter 8 of the story. Sorry about the numbers being off. I'll have to worry about that sometime, I know. Chapter 8 will be Welcome. I'll see you then. Be good.